This is Nahumi, Sefer Shemot Elbet, Chapter 8. This chapter returns to a description of David's military conquests as king of Israel. He engages in war on Moab and subdues them, killing two-thirds of the population and retaining the rest of the citizens as servants. David also smites Hadad-Ezer ben Rehob, the king of Tzobah, and he captures many officers, riders, and horses from him. He hamstrings all of the horses except what is necessary for 100 chariots of his own. When the Arameans come to assist the armies of Tzobah, David defeats them as well, killing 22,000 soldiers. David takes gold and brass from the cities of Tzobah and from Aram and brings it to Jerusalem to consecrate to Hashem. Toi, the king of Hamat, sends his son as a messenger to David to salute and bless him for defeating their common enemy, Hadad-Ezer, which apparently Toi had been engaged in war against for many years. David is presented with vessels of silver, gold, and brass from the son of Toi, which he likewise dedicates to Hashem. Throughout all of his military campaigns and endeavors, Hashem protected and assisted David. David was able to acquire an international reputation for his remarkable successes on the battlefield, conquering much territory and establishing a governing presence in the land of Edom. He consistently dedicated all of the spoils of war that he plundered to Hashem. The chapter concludes by mentioning that David ruled justly and charitably over all of Israel. A description is provided of the various cabinet members that he appointed and that constituted his court or government. An infrastructure is in place that can provide support and stability to the nation as a whole. There are many details here that would warrant a more lengthy discussion, such as the reason for targeting Moab in particular, or occupying the territory of Edom. But for brevity's sake, I'll confine my remarks to some more basic general observations. This chapter represents a dramatic shift away from the spiritual preoccupations of the previous chapter. We're back into the messy details of military activity. This juxtaposition is surely deliberate. David was told in chapter 7 that he would not be the person to build the temple. His job was to invest his energies in subduing the enemies of Israel and consolidating his government so that his successor could construct the permanent home for the divine presence. Therefore, David immediately throws himself back into this important project, eliminating more enemies, securing borders, fine-tuning the particulars of his administration. The temple can only rest upon the foundation of a peaceful and just society. When injustice and violence prevail, it cannot abide. David is working hard to create the ideal environment for the divine presence to dwell in Israel. We see that even at the pinnacle of military and political success, David remains a humble and devoted servant of Hashem. He observes the Torah's commandment that the king cannot accumulate excess horses by disposing of all but what he needs for 100 chariots. Similarly, he refrains from amassing wealth in his treasure houses, opting instead to consecrate the spoils of war to the service of God, or for the sake of this future temple. He utilizes his fame and fortune only to glorify the Almighty, and he serves as the agent of Hashem in establishing justice and equity in his kingdom, in fulfillment of the tradition of Abraham, as was said about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him to guard the way of Hashem to do charity and justice. David understands that these are the principles that will ensure the continued existence of the Jewish people in the Holy Land, and he governs accordingly. The fact that other relatives of the nation of Israel, Moab, who was from Lot, and Edom, who were from Esav, who were known for their corruption and injustice, are conquered by David, accentuates the point that he embodies the legacy of Abraham and is therefore entitled to the blessings that are guaranteed as a result.